So just for just a little introduction, and Friday night was amazing. It was a women's workshop, and Pastor was speaking, and us guys were just sitting on the sidewalk, and just how the Word of God, just the Word of God does such amazing things in our lives. And I was thinking this morning, it's so interesting for us as a people to be governed by what we see, right? We have eyes, and you know, however, our eyes can be, they cannot see clearly. They can misread something. They cannot see in its entirety. But in Isaiah chapter 50, Jesus says this, verse 5, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear." And just think about that. You know, there's, you know, when you were kids, your parents used to say, get the ears out, the wax out of your ears. You're not hearing me correctly. But what is it about our ears? Our ears are very discerning. If you cannot see, and Pastor had us do this exercise Friday night, was to close our eyes. And when you close your eyes, you're not limited anymore. Now you have to listen. If a person moved from one area to the other of the room, normally we would follow them with our eyes. But when our eyes are closed, we have to hear them. And it's an amazing discipline, learning to hear. And like we said in the announcements, I remember first coming to this ministry 31 years ago and not knowing how to hear, not understanding anything about the Word of God. But over time, little by little, in Isaiah 28, precept upon precept, I learned and started learning how to hear. And what was amazing about when you learn to hear, there's two aspects of hearing: what I hear and how I heard it. And many times someone may say something and we don't hear it correctly. They said this, but I heard them say that. And sometimes it's because of our understanding or our lack of understanding. But sometimes it's, can you say that again? And it's a discipline how to hear and what I heard. And then Jesus said, and this is what it was said in speaking of Christ, "And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." In other words, when I hear something, I don't dismiss it. I understand what I'm hearing. I'm hearing the Word of God. Psalm 107, verse 20, He sends His Word to heal us and to deliver us from our destruction. And we go from seeing to hearing. And it's an amazing discipline to be in church and learn how to hear. Why? Because our eyes can be distracted. What happened there? Oh, what's going on? But then we say, no. I'm governing my ears. And in closing, one thing I used to do, and I still do from time to time when I'm hearing the message, is I close my eyes and I open my ears. Why? Because I know what I'm hearing is the Word of God, and I want to give it the weight it deserves in my life. I don't want my eyes to be taken away by something that's not important when the Word of God is coming. You know, and Pastor Stevens would always say this, "Give me your undivided attention." The word Shema in the Old Testament, it means to hear precisely. It means to hear accurately. It means to hear continuously. Because the Word of God has the ability to deliver my soul. And when I understand that, I come to church. There's a new reason why I come to church. I'm not coming to church to see who's wearing this and who's wearing that, who has the latest this, who has the latest that. But I'm becoming a student of the Word of God. Hearing. Because as I hear, it governs an amazing organ in our lives, our tongue. How I hear determines what I say. I learn to hear accurately, and I learn that my words are few because I want my words to edify and not condemn. So it's just amazing. Great weekend, great opportunity this morning to learn to be a hearer. Amen?
All right. Our title of our message is Turning Eyes into Ears. Okay. Turning eyes into ears. So Friday night, we had a great time with the ladies out there on the deck. Wow, it was so rich. Yeah, fellowship, and yeah, Friday, yesterday here, and we just enjoy it. The men, Pastor Jason and his team, you know, serving. We have a guest, Donnie Fisher, here from Ohio, the Buckeye State of Ohio. Class of 1992 at NBCNS. And he's one of our heroes. I love that guy. He's such a blessing. And each one of you here today, each one special. Praise the Lord. We're not much, but wow. We're all God's got. You know, this is who he has us, you know. It's great. Okay, turning eyes into your eyes are sometimes a problem. Turn to Genesis 13. Please, Genesis 13. Verse 8, 7. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. So there's a family dispute or strife, anyway, with the shepherds, the herdmen of the two families. Abraham is the uncle of Lot. Lot is the son of Abram's brother. But they moved away from home, and now they're in the promised land, and there's a family squabble. Has that happened to you? Okay, no comment. Is that the whole land before thee? Verse 9, separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. This is Abram. You go there, I'll go there. You go there, I'll go there. I'm easy to work with. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Behold, all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come unto Zoar. All right, so it's so normal for us to live by our eyes, by what we see. And it looks like in our day and age today, we have a lot of eye activity. We have iPhones, okay. YouTube videos, movies, things to look at all the time, everywhere. Maybe we are looking more than we are thinking and listening. So this is a meditation for us. Adam and Eve, were in the garden, and when Eve saw the tree was beautiful and good for fruit, then she moved in that direction, even though they were told not to eat of it. It says something interesting about Jesus in Isaiah 42. Turn there with me. Verse 18 and 19. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. But what kind of seeing? Verse 19. Who is blind but my servant? This is my servant, is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He is blind. But actually, he isn't, in that way, but he is in another way. He is in a way. Do you remember when Adam sinned? What does it say? What happened to him when he ate of the tree? It says his eyes were opened, and he saw that he was naked. Remember? Kind of reverse that. Jesus' eyes are not open, and he's blind, and he doesn't see that he is naked. He sees that he's clothed, that Jesus is clothed with the glory of God. He is equipped, covered by his Father. And in a sense, his eyes were not open the way Adam, when Adam sinned, his eyes were open to himself. And this is a very common thing for all of us. We are very much, we just made a little sketch. Sometimes I don't think I should do this, but okay, there's reason in people, and then there's emotion. There's many parts to man, but I want to say emotions can drive your life. And what you see by our sin nature, what we see can easily disturb us. Easily disturb us. We get so worried and afraid by what we see. We can get in a lot of trouble by what we see. We can have our eyes wide open to many things that we shouldn't even be looking at. We shouldn't be looking at them. So our eyes actually cause us a lot of trouble. So in the 21st century, this is what the anthropologists and psychologists are looking at, is that people are moving from reason to feelings, psychology, personal troubles, fears. There's much more anxiety and fear today, according to what they're talking about. There's a stronger move to myself. We can say my feeling self, because life can hurt me. My eyes are wide open to the suffering and the pain. They're open to the sinful things in life. The pornography that some people are addicted to. Their eyes are controlling their life. And that's what we want to think about today. Turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because I believe you... Yeah, I know you are on a good road. If you come to God and you come to fellowship and you are learning to listen with your new ears, this will replace your eyes. Really? Okay, so turn to chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. Let's have a list of things that are seen. Let's just fool around here for a minute. The things that are seen, let's make a list of two categories. Bad things that you see. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. Bad things that you see. What could they be? It could be a tragedy, a bad thing. I could see a car accident, a house on fire. I could see a dead person in a hospital. I could see bad things, normal things. just it's easy. Good things. I can see, I could see grocery store, which is, in my opinion, the most incredible thing. A store packed with food. That's incredible. And make a list of things that you can see, right? Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah, before it was destroyed, it was the garden of God. That's what he saw. You could see a beautiful child. You could see a beautiful countryside. And what does this verse say? Why we look not at the things that are seen. I don't understand that. My eyes are made by God. He put me in a world that I can see. But is he saying something else? Is he saying, look at verse 18, but at the things which are not seen. Not seen. I look at the things not seen. You can make a list. Unseen things. What? Make a list of unseen. God. Can't see him. Heaven. Never been there. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How about the promises? How about the nature of God? What about faith? I can't really see faith, but I look at it. I'm looking at faith. I'm looking at the value of faith. I can't really see peace, but I'm looking at peace. I'm listening for peace. I can see peace. I can hear it. My eyes have changed to ears. I'm hearing. I can't see God, but can we hear God? I don't know. Where is truth? I want to see truth. Can I hear truth? Look at the verse here. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Maybe we could say, we are seeing the unseen things by hearing. By hearing about God, I'm believing in God. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Maybe by thinking about God, studying about God, hearing about God, there's a capacity in my heart for something more than my eyes. My eyes are replaced by other eyes that are actually eyes of faith. Verse 18, for the things which are seen are temporal. Is the car accident temporal? It is, thank God. It happened, unfortunately. But I also have a capacity not simply for emotion and what I see. That's a good point, I think. We have a capacity for the eternal. Car accident is temporal. God is eternal. My life is actually temporal, but receiving Christ and our lives are eternal. By myself, I have a lot of emotion and feeling and troubles many times, but when I look at what is not seen and I hear what is not seen, it builds me up in my faith, and I actually look at that which can't be seen. I'm actually in fellowship with the spiritual, in fellowship with God our Father, who gives us promises and speaks to us, leads us, helps us, teaches us, comforts us, gives us a capacity for God and truth in the inner man, built up in the inner man. But I believe that many of us have problems in life because we look at what is seen. So Job was tested. Job was tested by God. And in the test, he lost 10 children. I wonder what it was like to bury 10 children. Well, if I see it, it's devastating. I'm emotional. I'm made this way. I don't understand. How could this happen? Where does the evil come from? How could God allow? If God is good, as the Rabbi Kushner wrote a book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. I won't speak on that just now, but I want you to say the book of Job is not about that. It's about God testing Job and Job reversing it. Job tested God when actually God was testing Job. What was he testing? He was teaching him, don't live by your eyes, live by my words. Let me repeat it. Job goes to bury 10 children. Your eyes see 10 graves. You're devastated. It touches you to the bone. There's no doubt. The tragedy is real. Everything about it is not to be denied. It is not denied. It is not a joke. It is reality. It hurts. It's painful. I can see it. My eyes, we could say, are this big. My eyes, I just look at it and the memory of it cannot leave me. My eyes are huge. I am devastated. I could not be hurt more than what Job went through in that trial. But in the story, the lesson is this one. Job is talking a lot about this. God is saying, why did you do this to me? I do not understand. I wish I could talk to God. I wish I could see him. I look on the right hand, he is not there. I look on the left, he is not there. Ooh, I wish I could come before his court. And I could, and these are my words, put my finger in his face and say, why? Why? You answer me. You answer me. But Job, it's different language, but it's Job 23, and there are various chapters, but I want just to make the point, and I without twisting it, but just to say, God was silent. God was silent. Remember that. God loves us in our pain. He is there in our pain. He knows us. He knows our frame, that we are weak. He pities us like a father pities a child. Psalm 103:14. There is no doubt about it. On the other hand, he wants us to mature. He knows we can do it. He knew this about Job. Job can do it. He can mature. And his eyes turn to ears. Okay? My eyes turn to ears. Through my ears, I can see the unseen. I can believe. If my ears are those ears that Jesus spoke about in Mark 4, Okay, turn to Mark 4 with me, please. Verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I've met many people in the ministry, many who they stop hearing. They stop hearing. They can't hear. Has it happened to you? I'm so filled with myself. I'm so filled with anger. I'm so filled with my issues. I'm just so filled. I cannot hear. Have you ever talked to somebody who can't hear you? They don't listen. They're just filled with themselves. Yes, for us to sit here and you to listen is a work of grace, that God would have many local assemblies around the world throughout history that are capable of listening. They are capable of listening. This is Luke 8, Mark 4, and here it is. If you can hear, let him hear. And he said, verse 24, take heed what you hear. Not false doctrine, not weird teachings, not information outside of the scripture, not adding to the scripture, taking away from the scripture. Take heed what you hear, not the village gossip, not the chatter, not all the things that people are filled with, but you be careful what you hear. You have a capacity to hear in the Spirit. Many times before preaching, I know the pastors, they do this, and we were trained this way. You go alone before God, and sometimes hours before, and you get your message from God. And you can tell. Yeah, sometimes you just know, like so clear, this message, I got a message. I've got a message. That's amazing. But you don't need to be a pastor to be that way. You and I have this communion. We have communion with God. And we have to, in a way, like Job's eyes in his suffering are big, and he's filled with talking. And he's talking chapter after chapter, and God is silent till the end of the book. And then he repents, and he puts his hand to his mouth. He repents, and now he's got ears, and he's blessed. The blessing of God. No matter what a person's tragic life is, the blessing of God is greater. No matter what you have been through or what you will go through, no matter what your life will be, what I'm saying today, what the scripture is saying today, is powerful. He said, take heed what you hear. Not everything you listen to is going to build you up. Not everything you look at is going to be the solution for your life. How many people have we met through the years who travel around looking for better weather? They go where there's better weather. They move to where there's better weather, and they sit there by themselves where there's better weather. When we first moved to Finland back in 1975, my first 3 months was exciting. 6 months was excellent. Then it went downhill. It wore off. Wasn't exciting anymore. I started to get tired of it. And I had this lesson from Bible college. When the Jews came out of Egypt, they were very happy, but they wanted to go back. And if God had let them go back, for sure, they would have wanted to go back, get out. If they had gotten out again, they would have wanted to go back again. you know, this idea. So I thought to myself, I'm in Finland, but I want to go back to the States. But if I go back to the States, I know myself well enough to know I want to come back here. Now I regret that I left, and the whole thing gets all confusing. So shut my eyes and listen to God, right? Shut my eyes, be careful what I hear. The people I'm with can influence me. What I hear, what I read, a movie that somebody goes to, it may stick in your life, in your mind, the rest of your life. You know, something somebody says to you can stick in your heart the rest of your life. Because we have big eyes and big emotions. But to learn to be quiet and filter out and stop that, shun that, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. There's like a trap over there. It's a swamp. And there's quicksand over there. And there's an evil man over there. So I don't live in fear, because you and I are learning to be filled with the Spirit and filled with God's Word. The Word of God gives us the capacity to hear and hear the right thing, hear the doctrine. You might say, well, I'm living in this level and the Bible has me on some, I don't know, I can't spend all my time in the Bible, and nor do I really understand it. But that's what the Ethiopian said in Acts 8. How will I, he said, Philip said, who is speaking? He said, how can I know without a teacher? Acts 8, verse 20. But we have a teacher. We have the Spirit. We have a pastor teacher. We have a Bible that's right open in front of us. We can carry this around. We can meditate on it, like it says in Psalm 1. We can listen to it and understand it, and our ears get bigger, and we have a growing capacity to hear what God is saying to us and believing Him. So read Mark 4 and verse 24. It shall be take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet. What does that mean? If I have a measurement of like one bottle empty, I give that to God and He gives that back to me, one bottle full. If I give to God a big kettle, that's what He gives back to me. If I give to God a swimming pool, Lord, this is my capacity. I am hearing You. He will give back to me. You don't have to use volume, you can use quality. If you really hear me, you will be hearing me. If you are hearing me this much, you know, the quality of love, the fellowship of love, submission, humility, as you hear me, so I will return that. I always think of a deceitful person. God, a deceitful person is deceived by God. God isn't deceitful, but He allows them to live in their deceit. Joseph was called a trickster. Remember his name, Joseph? I'm sorry, Jacob? He was a supplanter, a deceiver, a con man. Another name for Jacob would be con man. He could rip you off. He can cheat you. His name is Jacob. So when his son disappeared, the sons came with a bloody coat, and they said, here is his coat. And Jacob looked at it, and he said, oh, he's been killed by an animal. He lived all those years being deceived. his son was alive in Egypt. But if you are deceitful, if you play games with God, God will play games with you. If you are honest and submitted to him and hearing him, then he will speak to you. He will give to you. He will continue to forgive you. He does it for all of us by keeping his covenant. But I'm saying in practice, there are way too many of us that are easy to complain and put our finger in the face of God and say, I wanted that apartment and I didn't get it, and that's your fault that that happened. My child is sick, or some other problem in relationship and so on, and it's all about big eyes and very little ears. And I just want to say, let's change that. That's all. Let's change that. Amen? Okay. A few more verses and we'll finish up here. Mark 4:24. It shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. You know, it's amazing, like with Pastor Shabelli over here. Like, I love that guy so much, and his ministry is so great, but he loves the Bible. Pastor Shabelli, does he love the Bible? He loves the Bible. I mean, reads the Bible. And Linda, the Bible. Wow. It's amazing. More will be given to you. More will be given. More will be given. It'll be given to you according to how you hear. So Abraham said to Lot, Lot's eyes are big and he sees the beautiful. I'm going over there. Abraham's eyes are like small, kind of like this is the idea. And he goes, that's all right, you go there. Wherever I am, I can walk with God, and God is with me, and I am blessed by God. Whatever is happening, jealousy is a big problem with people, and I'll say a couple words about it. I was in Romania, I said it the other night, I was in Romania in a village, and I said to the village people, we were in a barn having a meeting, and it was packed with people, and it was a precious time in the 90s. And I said, some of you have 7 chickens, and you're jealous because somebody has 100 chickens. They all kind of like listening, and they're kind of laughing, and they're, how did he know, and all this. Like, so we're having a good time in the village. Jealousy is everywhere. Jealousy, somebody has a good family, somebody has a family with problems. Somebody has an education, somebody does not have. If somebody is good looking and somebody struggles with that. Somebody has money, somebody doesn't have. If somebody's young, somebody's old. There are so many things where people live, how they live, their jobs and everything. So jealousy is a plague of the human heart. The eyes are big. I am so jealous. Oh, wow. Why do they have so much? I have nothing. Take the eyes, turn them into ears, and be careful what you hear. More shall be given. And you will think now. This is the age that it's like a non-thinking, emotional age of the human race. It's like a non-thinking, angry, emotional setup. It's like, no, God is saying in the book of Job, Job, you got to change and listen to me. And you know, in the book of Job, when God spoke to Job, he gave him 81 questions. And the purpose of the questioning was to get Job to realize how little he knew. You don't know anything, Job. You think you know something? You know nothing, virtually nothing. You're like a little idiot. I mean, you think you know? What are you talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about. You have no idea. So God says, Do you know where darkness is? Do you know where light is? Do you know when the calves give birth in the mountains? Do you know, been to the bottom of the sea? Do you know what binds these constellations, Pleiades, and Orion together? Do you know the constellation? Do you know the powers that are there? Do you know anything about the cosmos, about the depth of the sea, about physics, we would say, about the binding of atoms? Do you know any of that stuff? Like, you don't even... So with us, it's to be humble and say, I don't know, but I need you. I need you. I don't need my talking. I need you. I need you. And it says Job put his hand on his mouth and repented and said, I have darkened counsel with words. And he repented. And I believe when he did that, his ears got really big, like he realized. Psalm 73 is another text on that. When I went into the house of God, then I understood. There are so many things that we need to learn and understand. Let me just close with a couple of things. Number one, do not accuse your mother and father. They may not be, they're not innocent, maybe. They're not perfect. Maybe there's been something, but just leave it alone. Forgive them and move on. And as much as you possibly can, honor your mother and father. Just move on in hearing from God. Because that unforgiving spirit can eat you up and bitterness grow in your heart. Secondly, regarding the church, you can accuse it day and night all you want to, filled with hypocrites, empty, you know, got nothing out of it, doesn't work, it means nothing to me. You can live like that. But I advise you not to. Not to. Look for something to be submitted to. Be submitted to God. Be submitted to the Word of God. Because that's the authority of God. And he says, don't do that. Do not be an accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12. We are not judges. We're not on the earth to be a judge. How can I judge when I know so little? Do I know everything? Can I make a judgment? We were taught, if I judge somebody, I'd have to know everything, all things in order to make a judgment. Everything. I got to know everything. How can I judge if I don't know everything? I got to know everything. Do I know everything? I don't. So, judge not lest you be judged, Matthew 7:1. James 4, 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of a brother. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Yea, to his own master, to his own master, to his own master he stands or falls. Romans 14, 4. So, it's clear. What is it? What does God want from me? He wants me to be humble before him and obey him. He wants me to learn to love and forgive. He wants me to learn to build and minister and serve. He wants me to have ears. And he wants to give more to us, more to us. And the world you can't see is the one we're looking at. Not the climate, not the problems with people. They are endless. Not the worries and the fears. They are also endless. But he wants me to have ears for the comforter, the teacher, the doctrine, the words, the rhemas, the encouragement, the love, the vision, and then we will have eyes. And it says about Jacob in Genesis 47:10, his eyes grew dim, and he saw Joseph, and he said, I thought I would never see you again. But God has been good to me. I thought I would never see you. And then he blessed his children. And then he blessed all the sons, all his sons, Jacob's sons, all of them with eyes that were not these. His eyes were dim, but he prophesied over every one of them because he understood something more about life than what these eyes can give me. What these eyes give me is one thing, but they are not what I really need. I need something to see beyond. When Jesus was here, he was a blind servant, and because he didn't see like other people. But he saw what the Father was doing. He lived that way. He became our Savior. He is up on a throne, and he's telling us today. He's speaking to our hearts today, and he says, follow me. You don't put me on the trial. I'm not on trial. You are. I want you to be a hearer and walk with me, and I will be glorified because as you obey me, I will manifest my kingdom on the earth through you. I will. I will fill you with the Spirit. I will teach and show you because I am God. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Lord, some man could say, I saw this woman and I can't get her out of my mind. A woman, not my wife. I saw this woman. And we say to that man, this message is for you. It's like be blind like Jesus and walk and hear God say, thou shalt not commit adultery. Hear God talk about the treachery of dishonesty and betrayal. The treachery of the human heart is wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? The treachery of the flesh, there's no answer there. Misery, lie down in sorrow as I follow the sparks of my own soul in Isaiah 50, verse 11. No. Maybe there's somebody here who has their eyes on a wedge of gold like the brother did in the book of Joshua. Wedge of gold in a Babylonian garment. Maybe a garden or maybe some other thing. It's like it's your life, but this is a message for you and me. It's like wait on God, worship God, follow God. Have a diet in the Word of God. I mean page after page, Bible study after pleasant, edifying, joyful Bible study. Church service over and over for years and decades, delivering us from problems and headaches and addictions and fears and giving us life and building us up in the inner man. Making us healthy in our soul, our spirit, and our body. Thank you, Jesus. Open our mouths and make known the mysteries of Christ, to speak about the mysteries of Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you. For the Word of God to go into all the world, for the little kids in the street, down the sidewalks, to hear the story about Noah and the ark, and Elijah and the prophets, and Jesus and multiplying bread, and the stories of the Apostle Paul in prison and on the mission field, and make your life count, and God is for you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come to God. You say to a teenager, come to God. Start to pray to God. Talk to me tomorrow. Talk to me next week. Let's meet again on the sidewalk. I want to talk about God. Because he's real, he's alive, and he loves you. He's personal. He cares about you. Anyone here coming to Jesus today, come as you are. Put away your flesh, your unbelief, your fear. Come as you are. Just come with all your stuff, all the baggage. Bring it. Everything. Bring it all. Everything. All your sin, everything about you. our hypocrisies, our unbelief, everything. Bring it all to Jesus Christ, and he forgives you. You are born again. You're a child of God. You are forgiven. Your name is in the book of life. God is your Father. Talk to him and walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen.